Now I ask you to please turn with me this evening to 1 Peter and chapter 2, 1 Peter and chapter 2 and verse 13. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. And the subject before us this evening is Christian behaviour in this world. We're in the part of this letter in which the Apostle Peter is given instruction concerning Christian behaviour as a whole. And in our last message, we considered the pastoral way in which Peter gives instructions for Christian behaviour. We then went on to consider the believer's position in this world. They are pilgrims. They are strangers. Strangers to worldliness. And the second part of the message was devoted to understanding this believer's personal conduct in this world. How is this worked out? We are to flee from fleshly lusts. We are to use discernment. We are to be alert. Deny the desires. Not get carried away. Put up the barriers against sin. To put on Christ by faith and to pray. But now we come to consider the witness of the Christian with regards to the authorities. This is a very relevant topic in a time of submission to those in authority over us regarding the virus restrictions. And so our first heading is the believer's submission to those in authority over them, verse 13. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors. Well, there is a therefore here. So that follows on, obviously, from what's going before. They may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of a visitation. Glorify God. As the gospel is being worked out by God in this world, then as it transforms the life of a believer, they may observe the fruits, the good works, and it will bring glory to God. Well, therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. The Christian believer should set an example by being a law-abiding citizen. The first principle we must see here is that this requirement is for the Lord's sake. This is the first point I make about submission to those in authority over us. The Lord's sake. Christian behaviour in this society is part of honouring the Lord, part of our service to the Lord. And once we grasp this truth in our minds, it helps us then to respond accordingly to those in authority over us. It's about serving the Lord, actually. This is for the Lord's sake. This is for the honour of the Lord. But please remember first here that the Apostle Peter, in giving this teaching, lays down a very important rule here then. It is for the Lord's sake we obey reasonable laws, that his name will not be dishonoured by our bad conduct. So this submission, this obedience to reasonable laws, is for the Lord's sake. It's for the honour of the Lord. The second point is to consider this word submit. Submit yourselves. It means here to be placed under, to be subordinate to obey. William Hendrickson, in his commentary, it says, the implication is not that a person who submits to authority loses his dignity, but he recognizes authority that God has instituted. The Apostle Peter is reminding us here then that God, who is in control of history, knows who is ruling at any given time. God is a God of order. Therefore, as far as is possible, we must submit to that authority. Now, the Apostle Peter, writing at the time of Nero, had a question. And the great question for the Christian at this time was, do we obey this wicked, vindictive, power-crazed emperor whose concern for the poor is nil? And the answer the Apostle Peter is given here is, as far as you are able, without contradicting God's law, yes, this is for the Lord's sake. Peter admonishes his readers to obey the magistrates for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, like a Nero there, or to governors, the magistrates. So God is sovereign in every area of life, in full control of the situation. So here the Apostle Peter does not advocate rioting, demonstrations and rebellion, but rather submission. God in his sovereign will is allowing such a man to rule at such a time. God in his sovereign will is permitting the government of our day. We may not like our government. We may not respect our government. We may not like our prime minister even. We may not agree with the way they behave. But as far as they are in authority over us, we must obey them and submit to them, but as is right unto the Lord. So, the Lord Jesus taught, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. So there are reasonable rules, even under someone like Caesar, or even Nero, that can be obeyed for the Lord's sake. But there are higher rules, God, the things that are God's. So we need to respect the position that God has allowed in this his creative order, that there are kings, there are magistrates, there are those in authority over us. Obedience, therefore, is called because a ruler has authority conferred upon him by God. So please turn with me to Romans chapter 13, and we develop this theme of submission and obedience to those in authority over us. Romans 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment upon themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same, for he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honour to whom honour. Christians are opposed to anarchy, demonstrations and the like, because God is a God of order, and a God of law and order. And there are ways and means, rightly and even politely, whereby we can bring our opposition to bear to laws that are being made that are contrary to God's word. Our witness and testimony in this is very important. How we do this. So, in this way, as we look at this passage, we come to the conclusion that kings and queens, prime ministers and presidents and ministers and MPs and judges and magistrates are all part of God's plan of creative order. But then, we must clarify, according to the scripture, the limit of a ruler's authority over a Christian believer. For having established the principle that kings and rulers and magistrates are to be obeyed, this instruction needs to be put into its limit. At the end of verse 16, we read these words, but as bondservants of God. And as we look at these verses before us, we read, for example, as well in verse 15, for this is the will of God. And so we must see this obedience as being obedience not to just the rulers above us in time, but there is a God whom we obey. The prime responsibility of a ruler is to keep law and order. This is the limit. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Now, the limit is this. And God's creative order, they are there above us, ruling in God's permissive providence and wisdom, and their prime responsibility is to keep law and order in a reasonable manner. Notice here the punishment of evildoers. And the praise of those who do well. As to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. Now, in a topsy-turvy world, this often gets turned around. So the evildoer gets praised and the well-doer gets punished. But in these current days, it has been good to see how the NHS and the care profession has been much more appreciated and valued. And those flouting the law have been criticised for their foolish behaviour and selfish attitude. Now, for the Christian, praise for doing good is not important for them only as far as good witness is concerned. The main point is you are doing what is right as a law-abiding citizen for the Lord's sake, for the honour of the Lord. There is a higher authority which ultimately must be obeyed. And this fits in with the parameters that we're looking at here of this authority. The authority of man is to do with law and order. But then there is a higher authority which ultimately must be obeyed. Kings and rulers, even though they may not acknowledge it, are under a higher authority. And this principle is taught by the Lord Jesus before Pilate in John 19 verse 10. Then Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and have power to release you?" Jesus answered, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given to you from above." So there again we see this authority given to Pilate under the permissive will of God. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin. Then when the apostle Peter and John were commanded to stop preaching the gospel, they realized these instructions went against the commands of God, and they responded. Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge." And so with that principle in mind of that higher authority, when the authority in time was telling them to stop preaching the gospel, they obeyed the higher authority and they preached the gospel. So God is a God of order. Authorities must be obeyed, even if they are wicked men, in terms of law and order. But Christians must only obey as long as the higher law of God is not broken in so doing. And so, for example, Corrie ten Boom's father, who was told by a minister once to obey those in authority over him and not hide Jewish families. And he responded, "We will obey those who make the laws, but not if they are against God's higher law." But then, let your actions speak for themselves. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Now there had been a lot of ignorant and foolish talk concerning Christians in that time, and there still is today. They were accused at that time of being subversive, of being a threat to the authorities, and when something went wrong, they were blamed. It's the Christians' fault. And this still goes on in parts of the world. When there's a tragedy, people blame the Christians. And the Apostle Peter is teaching that the best way to answer these ignorant and foolish men is, with God's help, to live honourable and godly lives. And by so doing, you will put to silence these accusations. And so we read the Apostle Paul telling us, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. God's will is for the Christian to do good, and so silence the ignorance of foolish men. And so listen to the way the Lord Jesus deals with this. In Matthew 22, verse 34. "But when the Pharisees heard that he silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, 'Teacher, what is the great commandment of the law?' Jesus said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbour as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.' And while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, 'What do you think about Christ? Whose son is he?' They said to him, 'The son of David.' He said to them, 'How then does David in the Spirit call him Lord? Saying, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." If there David then calls him Lord, how is he his son?' No one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day did anyone dare question him any more." And so the Lord Jesus, he answered the ignorance of foolish men and the questions that came to him, some of which were not unreasonable questions, some were quite reasonable questions, but he had a way of witness and answering which silenced the ignorant attitude of men. So God's will is for the Christian to do good, and in this way silence the ignorance of foolish men. We can do good by our actions, we can do good by what we say, we can do good by our testimony. And the ignorant here are those who have a closed mind to the evidence. In that respect, it's an inexcusable ignorance. It is a failure spiritually to know, in the sense of disobediently closing the mind to the Word of God. It's a willful closing of the mind to the Word of God. It's a willful closing of the mind to the evidence. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. And so our testimony is to speak, is to be a witness to them. Let your actions speak for themselves. And then we come to the believer's freedom in verse 16. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Peter is telling believers how to conduct themselves. Live as free men. But here are people suffering oppression and persecution, and Peter is telling them to live as free. A Christian is free indeed, because through the death and the resurrection of Christ, a believer is free from the condemnation of the law, is freed from the guilt of sin, is freed from past sins, is freed from the overruling power of sin. A true Christian wants to live a life which is pleasing to God, a life which brings honour unto God. A Christian has been purchased by Christ Jesus. They become bonded to Christ as his servants. You are the bond servants of God. They are yoked to Christ. This is a relationship of love. And this relationship of love gives liberty from the bondage of Satan. Far better be a bond servant of Christ, a bond servant of God, than to be a bond servant of Satan. We are one or the other. But do not use your Christian liberty as a cloak for vice or maliciousness meant here. Christians, when left to themselves, can use spiritual liberty in a wrong way to cover for vice, evil desire, practice, even hurtful, malicious actions. We can use our Christian liberty to advance our own cause. But always remember, Peter tells us that you are bond servants of God. Remember that. But now, having been set free from sin, have become slaves, bond servants of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and in the end, everlasting life. And so, the believer's freedom. You are free, but do not use that liberty in an ungracious way, but as bondservants of God. So, in conclusion this evening, the Apostle Peter concludes the principle of submission to authority by giving four principles to which a Christian believer must adhere to. So please turn with me now to verse 17, our final verse. Honour all people. The believer must adhere to these principles. First, show impartial respect to all humanity. Honour all people. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, James says, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings in fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes, and you say to him, "You sit here in a good place," and say to the poor man, "You stand there, or sit here at my footstool," have you not shown partiality among yourselves, and become judges with evil thoughts? James 2, verses 1 to 4. So James is teaching us here that if a man comes into our gathering who is very well known, perhaps an important person, and we say, "Oh, make sure he gets a good seat," but there comes in this poor man, and we just sort of say, "Well, you can sit anywhere you like, but better at the back. You have shown partiality among yourselves." And the Lord says in his word, "Honour all people." Secondly, of these four principles in these verses, is verse 17, behaviour in this world, love the brotherhood. And that means love the church. It's very important that we understand this. We do good to all men, but especially to the household of God, to the church. And then thirdly, fear God. Fear God. Quite simply, that means to have a reverence for God. You see, the deeper we go with God, the more reverent we become. The more concerned we have, about reverent worship. Because the deeper we go with God, the more we realize the awesome holiness of God. And fourthly, honour the king. Or in our country at this time, honour the queen. It's important to show respect. So these four principles given in verse 17. But now I just want to summarise now, to sum up this passage we have been considering, and then I will conclude. First of all, we have considered how you must submit to government authorities. This is because God commands it. Submission means obedience and respect for that authority which has been bestowed. Rulers are clothed with God's authority, and God is a God of creative law and order. That is their responsibility, to do with the law and the order. And these include the supreme and the lesser authorities, the prime minister and the taxman. Secondly, you must submit to every valid law, because as we've said, God gave rulers authority to punish wrongdoers, to praise those who do right, to levy the taxes in order to promote law and order. Thirdly, we have seen you must not submit to invalid laws. Rulers who exceed the limits of their authority, or when rulers require Christians to sin, in these cases, Christians must obey God rather than man. And fourthly, the fourth principle, you must do this. As freed persons, use your freedom in the right way, but never as a cover for sin. Honour God by serving him first and foremost. Fear God. And as you do good, as you seek to obey the law, as you seek to do things decently and in order, and to help and to be a good witness and a testimony, this will have the effect of muzzling ignorant slanderers, which is what is meant in the original. As I said earlier, in this world in which we live, the Christian church is becoming under increasing attack and being misrepresented by ignorant men. We see this sometimes. You might see a documentary on the television, and you know, I remember seeing a documentary about some historical biblical site, and the person that was doing this documentary obviously had not really read her Bible properly. She was ignorant of truth, the truth of the Bible. And so it came out in this historical biblical evidence of what was the purpose of it, what was the meaning behind it. So, as we live our lives as true Christians and believers, it will have the effect of muzzling the ignorant slanderers who misunderstand the Christian church. But at the same time, we must show respect to rightful authorities. So here is some principles for us, very timely in these challenging times in which we live, when we face possibly further restrictions again upon our liberties in terms of what we're able to do. But nevertheless, remember, we obey those in authority over us, inasmuch as it does not contradict God's word, but we always remember that we do so for the Lord's sake, we do so in the fear of God, and we do so as bond servants of God. If we remain, keep these principles in mind, then we will find that wisdom we need to walk worthy in Christ Jesus. Amen.